Welcome to Fit Body Lifestyle, the show where we dive deep into the world of fitness, health, business, relationships, and the art of living a balanced life. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Greg, and we're here to give you the benefit of our experiences in the fitness and bodybuilding industry, the corporate world, running a business, personal development, and building healthy relationships.
Whether you're sweating it out in the gym, hustling in your business, or seeking balance in your everyday life, you're in the right place.
So lace up those sneakers and grab that water bottle, and let's get ready to transform our minds, our bodies, and our lives. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fit Body Lifestyle, and we have in our conversation corner today, IFBB Pro Miss and Fit Body Fusion Coach, Miss Adair LeBrecq.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
We're so happy you're down from Canada.
I am. I made the trip.
Yes.
Get out of the cold.
Before we get to the Adair story, which is which we're all looking forward to, let's start with our check-in word. So we're going to do a check-in and a check-out, which we do with every conversation. So the check-in word is just simply setting the tone for this conversation or for your day today or for your week today, whatever you want it to be.
I'm going to go with... Can I do two?
You can.
Okay.
There's no rules.
I'm going to go with open and vulnerable.
Wow.
Ooh.
Those are powerful words.
I like it.
Well, that kind of sets a good stage. So let's start with the easy part.
Tell us about yourself.
Ooh, that's easy. all right. Well, I mean, you know, kind of like you mentioned, I am a lifestyle competition prep coach for Fit Body Fusion. I'm also an IFBB Bikini Pro. Before I kind of started into my competition journey and stuff, I was, you know, studying psychology. I wanted to be a counselor, a psychologist. So,
and you are.
I am. And, you know, like I take a lot of what I learned in my schooling and I apply it to my coaching. And a lot of it can be applied to bodybuilding in general and, you know, health and fitness and all that sort of stuff. So it's kind of funny because, you know, I always say I kind of just switched careers almost and I just jumped over to the fitness side. But it really was just blending kind of my two passions together in the end. So,
well, mental health has always been an aspect of health, always. It's never not been. But I do think the pandemic brought that much more into focus. Mm-hmm. I think in our industry, we recognize the importance of it. But I do think that, again, thank you, pandemic, that at least it brought that more awareness and more than just the awareness, more acceptance of it.
Yeah, it's really like it used to be, you know, taboo and kind of frowned upon. And you kind of see that with the older generation, too, of the people that are like, I don't need a therapist. You know, like, I think everybody should go to therapy.
Why are you just like, just call me by name when you're going to say
it. No.
Like me, myself.
We actually 100%. See someone, you know, separately and together. And I totally agree with you because I feel like there's always things that we can work on in terms of our mental health. And I think specifically in this zone that we exist in this fitness area, because our body and our image, our self-image is huge and affecting our mental well-being. You know, there's that body dysmorphia aspect, there's the relationship with food aspect, and then, you know, how that relates back to us. And I love that, you know, you brought up merging those two together. I'd love to hear, you know, where are some situations where you feel like some of these mental health aspects you're able to work with clients to bring them through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I always say to my clients, my big thing is, like, where your mind is, your body follows. So, you know, we can give you cardio, we can tell you to train, we can give you a diet, give you your macros, but if your mind's not in a good place, like, your body's going to fight you, and you're going to see it. So you really need to take care of, like, your mind and, you know, your thoughts, and that's going to really translate, because if you don't feel good, you're not going to be motivated. You're not going to want to stick to a program. You're not any of those things. And then it also goes in reverse, right? Like the more you take care of your body, the better your mind's going to feel. So it's like a really nice back and forth balance between your mind and your body. And just, you know, especially when it comes to like food and eating and stuff like that and your body image, a lot of people are really obsessed with the scale, and it plays a huge role in their mental health. And, you know, I always tell my clients, it's like, focus on how you feel. Don't focus on the number on the scale. That's a tool. That's something that we use for data. But like when I'm looking at your check-ins, I don't care about the number. I'm looking at, you know, what you're saying, how you feel. Are you happy? Do you feel good in your body? Do your clothes fit you better? Like, are you confident? Like, that's a better indicator of progress than the scale is. So it's really being able to, you know, like find that balance of, okay, this is the data. This is how I feel. And like, this is how my body's responding to it all together, you know?
Do you think that Well, I have a couple many questions from what you just said. But, I think the biggest question I have, though, is how has that translated over into, because you're a actively competing IFBB pro. Mm-hmm. How do you, is this a do as I say, not as I do? Or is this a do as I do?
No,
and do
I
as
do. I do, okay. Definitely. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can apply it, right? And I think it kind of comes down to finding what works for you, right? There's things like meditation. There's journaling. There's, you know, like straight up going to therapy. Going to the gym as your therapy. There's so many different avenues. So, like, for me personally, like, I'm really big on journaling. I have a million thoughts going on in my head at all times, and unless I get them out onto paper, I cannot go through my day. So every single morning, like, I do my 5 to 10 minutes of journaling. You know, it just sets me up for success for the day. It sets my mind in the right place, and it puts me in, like, a state of gratitude. And I find when I'm living in a state of gratitude, like, that is when I'm thriving. That's like, you know, if you're grateful, you can't be thinking of negative things. You can't be pessimistic. Like, those two things can't coexist together. So I really find, for me personally, like, the journaling and just, you know, I list 3 things I'm grateful for. I, you know, I write my affirmations of what I want to achieve going forward and just anything that's going on in my brain so that I can, like, stop focusing on the thoughts going on in my mind and focus on the task in front of me, because otherwise then, like, it goes crazy.
You, like, literally gave me chills when you're talking about that, because just the fact what you said is so profound. If you're in that state of gratitude, you can't be in a negative state. Mm-hmm. You those two things cannot exist together. Yeah, and that literally like you said that and gave me chills, because I absolutely can relate in terms of, you know, when I do feel my mind going to the stinking thinking place, and if I can bring myself to that place of gratitude. And I love that you shared that you're doing the journaling and taking that time for yourself, because even just mm-hmm. taking time for yourself every day, I think so many of us just skip that part because we're so anxious to get into our day and the activities and everything, but that mm-hmm. pause to become present. Brilliant.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like the same thing that they say, you know, put on your oxygen mask first before you help others. Like, you can't show up for the people in your life unless you're your best version of yourself. So whatever that looks like for you, whether it's taking care of your mental health, or, you know, whether it is getting your workout in first thing in the morning or following your macros, like, whatever that looks like for you, take care of yourself first. And then it's going to make your relationships and every other aspect of your life that much better.
But Coach Adair, I don't want a journal because I don't know what to write. What do I write? I don't know what to write.
I know.
I'm betting you've received that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Okay. A lot of times. Or, you know, like, yeah, I don't have the time and stuff like that. And what I always tell my clients is set a timer. 2 minutes. That's all you need. Like, you don't need to write 10 pages of journaling. Like, granted, there's some days where I got a lot going on. I'm writing those 10 pages. But, you know, when I first started, I set that 2-minute timer, and I just put my phone away, set the timer, and I just started to write what's in my mind. And some days there's a lot. Some days there's not a lot. Like, there's days where I journal and, you know, I can't think of anything I'm grateful for. So I'm like, I'm grateful for this coffee I'm drinking. Like, it's little things like that. Just anything that comes to mind. Or, like, there's a lot of days I start my journaling with, I don't really feel like journaling right now. But anyways, and then usually it goes into something else and it starts to flow. And especially when you're first starting out, like, that 2-minute, when the timer goes off, close the book and go on with your day. Like, it doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't have to take up a whole hour of your day.
Well, the other part of that, and just from a foundational pivotal thing that I think applies to life, is that you don't have time for anything. You make time for the things that are important. And so whether it's setting a timer, it's all about your priorities. And if you are going to make yourself a priority, which part of mental health is making yourself a priority, the mm-hmm. fixing the mask, you don't have time for this, but you get time for this.
Exactly.
And I used to always coach employees, and one of the things that I would ask them about in the corporate world was, you know, making those priorities. And I said, listen, if you were in the middle of a presentation and one of your family members called you up and said, hey, I need you right now, would you go? And everybody but one person.
It was so funny.
Everybody, and I'm talking about like hundreds of people, would say, of course I would go. And I say, well, do you have time to go? And they would say, no. Why? And then I would say, why would you go? And that would then lead
to,
it's important to you. So I really love that you hit on that, Adair.
Yeah, I mean, if, like you said, if it's a priority, you make it a priority. We all have the same 24 hours in the day. It's like, some people make better use of them than others. And that's just because, you know, I'm big on how you feel. So if it makes me feel good, I'm going to do it, like non-negotiable, because why would I want to go through life feeling like crap?
I love that you brought up, we all have so much, only have so much time in a day. And I know you and I were talking, because I do feel like for those of us that are in this world, you know, whether you are an athlete, a coach, or in our cases, both, mm-hmm. you have to be very efficient with your time. And being, you know, that motivated, driven, efficient sort of personality. I'd love to hear, you know, how do you schedule out your days? Do you have it all pre-planned? Do you kind of fly by the seat of your pants? Like, kind of give us a day in the life of, and how mm-hmm. do you plan for that to make sure you're getting it all done?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big planner, so I like to know what I'm doing every single day. But it usually, you know, I also, that doesn't go the way it planned, like a lot of the time. Sometimes
no
things come up.
Contact, yeah.
So it's like I like to have a plan, but usually I'm never sticking to that plan. Like it's kind of a mix of both for me personally. But what I like to do is I like to plan my day out the night before. So if I'm like, okay, I have, you know, an appointment at 2 p.m. Well, that means I have to get my training in before that. So I need to be at the gym by, let's say, you know, 12 or something like that. So I kind of plan backwards almost with my days. around like the main event.
I'm laughing
because
that's the military method. It's called, backwards
smart.
Planning.
Yeah, it's smart. Yeah. So it's like the main event, like, okay, that's like meat and potatoes. And then like, what else do I have to do around that? And how am I going to schedule it into my day? So like for me personally, I start my days, it's always me time at the beginning of my day. Like I do my meditation, I do my stretches, I do my journaling, like my cardio stuff like that. And then I get into my work stuff. I get the important stuff done that I need to get done, like the check-ins, all that sort of stuff. If I have in-person clients, I go do that. Then I train myself. And then the end of the day is kind of more of a catch up on the things that maybe have slipped through the cracks throughout the day, finish up some work stuff. And then nighttime is also a really big thing for me. I like to take time for myself, put my phone away, just focusing on getting my mind right before bed too, because that also sets you up for the next day. A lot of people don't realize, like, before you go to bed is setting your day up for tomorrow and, you know, putting myself in that positive headspace before bed too.
One of the things I loved that I heard you say is that resilience piece. So having the plan, because without a plan, you know, we're planning to fail, right? Yeah. So we have to have a plan. And then also being able to be resilient throughout the day and pivot as needed. And, you know, I think it's something we see a lot with people on their fitness journeys is like, oh no, I messed up my meal. Or, oh no, I missed a workout. Might as well start again on Monday.
Yeah, it's the like slash one, or what is it? You pop one tire, so you slash them all. What's that saying?
Oh, I love that. I haven't heard that.
Like,
that
yeah,
Canadian
you pop
thing.
One tire, and then so you slash them all, or something like that. I can't remember how it goes.
I always say cut off your nose to spite your face. Same exact thing.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's like, that's not realistic. Like, life's going to happen. Things are going to come up. You need to be able to pivot. And, like, I'm guilty of that. You know, I used to be a very, like, rigid person. Like, I need this done at this time, and I need to eat at this time. And if I don't have this, like, it throws off my whole day, and I'm super, super upset. And I've learned over the last couple of years that I really need to be more fluid with my days. And, you know, if something comes up, okay, that's cool. Let's deal with it right now and move on to the next thing. And then I will plan later how I'm going to go back and get what I needed to get done when that thing came up.
It's the framework of the plan. Mm-hmm. So you and I mean, we talked about this before. There's an Eisenhower quote that he said, in war, plans are useless, but the planning process is priceless. And so you go through that planning process that establishes the framework, and then you adjust and move from there based on events and how they unfold. So, hey, my appointment at 2 o'clock was supposed to last an hour. It ended up lasting 2 hours. And so how do I then adapt to that? Mm-hmm. Or my appointment at 2 lasted a half hour. I was counting on 2 hours. And what do I do with that time back? Mm-hmm. If you're so rigid in your planning, well, my plan, it was at 2 o'clock, and now, you know, that's, I think, what you're talking about, is that ability to be resilient and adapt to those situations that occur within the framework of your plan.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, things are always going to come up in life, like whether it's in bodybuilding or it's in your job or your relationships, like there's always going to be hard things that come up. So you have to learn how to deal with them without, you know, having that negative consequence affect you.
Yeah, we're kind of going full circle back to what we talked about initially, is that mental health and that mental resilience. And it's mm-hmm. something that we do build over time. And I love that you said that, you know, you were more rigid, because I was definitely more rigid. And I feel like mm-hmm. as I you know, grow more into myself and get more comfortable with the fact that everything doesn't have to always be my way.
Yes. Although I would like to be.
when did that happen? I never got that memo. Well, I thought it always had to be your way.
Well, I will tell you, the reason I've grown so much is because of this guy right here, because mm-hmm. we have very different approaches to things. And I do think, you know, building that into my psyche has helped me learn from him, you know, because certain times I'm thinking it needs to be done XYZ way and he's doing it ABC way and I'm panicking because that's the wrong way, and yet it still comes out, you know, as good as what I would have done or even better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then I get a chance to like step back and then kind of reanalyze, you know, how I might want to do that differently in the past. And so kind of growing into that, as you know, and I do see that in the most successful athletes mm-hmm. is the resilience factor. And I've absolutely seen that in you. So I love that you're now, you know, you've got that mental health background. You've been able to like grow it, that in your own, you know, process. And now you're able to now pass that on to your clients and help them, you know, build in that resilience, because it takes time and energy and effort and mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of trial and error too, right? Like you're gonna fail and you're gonna, that's where you learn, and that's where you're like, okay, you know, that approach didn't work, so let's try it differently the next time it happens. And I always say too, like, you know, if you're going through a hard time and you're really, really down, like, embrace it, because it's gonna make the good times that much better. You know, life is all about ups and downs, and to have good times, you have to have bad times, and the bad times make you appreciate the good times. So really just, I think, embracing them and like taking everything for what it is going to help you have that flexibility and be resilient when things come your way.
It's the polarity of life. If there was no risk of defeat, would victory be the same?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, maybe ask that. Dare. So I know this past season was a great season in a lot of ways.
It was.
But it was a hard season because of the number of shows, and you were right there on the doorstep to the Olympia. Right there.
Yeah.
So what's the takeaway?
I mean, yeah, it was like it was an amazing season.
And by the way, the takeaway for you, and also how you're then taking that to your clients as well.
Yeah. I think this past season was a really big learning experience for me, because with my journey in bodybuilding, you know, I climbed really, really quickly. I did my first show on a Friday night, did a national show the next day, and won my pro card. So, like, I don't have a normal story.
No, I just got here.
Yeah, like a normal journey. I'm like, what is competing? Like, what is the stage? Like, I've stood on it once. I don't know. So, you know, this past year was a lot of learning about defeat, I guess, you know, and learning about taking feedback, applying it, getting better, and really appreciating the journey and not letting success be my motivating factor. Because, you know, when you do win and you win and you're used to that, that is like, okay, I want to win. And you should always go into a show thinking you can win, believing in yourself, wanting to win, but we're going to lose more times than we win. So having that realistic expectation and being able to appreciate the losses as, you know, lessons and how you can move forward from it. So, you know, this past season it was like every single show we're like, okay, we got this, and then we're so close, and we're like second, and then we're third, and we're second, and it was like, do we keep going, do we not keep going? And, you know, eventually we decided to shut it down. And in that moment, I was really, really upset. I wanted it so bad. I wanted to win. I wanted to make it to the end, but it was so close. I was like, if we just kept going, I would have made it there. And then I, you know, as a couple months went by and I got comfortable with the fact that I wasn't going to the Olympia last year, I realized that it was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because I learned that I need to be okay with losing, and that it's, how do I get better? And now I have this like fire in me of like, I want to prove myself. I want to get better. I want to take that feedback, and I want to come back this year, and I want to say like, hey, it's me again. Like, I took what you told me and I applied it, and I'm here, and this is a better version of myself. And I think, you know, when I do get there, hopefully this year,
you will.
It will be that much sweeter. You know, it'll, all of the hard times that I went through, the ups and the downs and the trying multiple times, it's like, it's going to make that victory so much greater because I went through those downs.
And I want you to ask the next question, but I do want to just say two things. One, you're going to learn about using that word try in a few weeks here. So just FYI, all will be known in due time.
Got it.
But the second part, I just want to tell you just publicly, and daughter, I think I've told you this personally, but I'm going to just tell you this here. I can scarcely think of a better example of grace and humility and professionalism. Well, I'm getting very emotional, so I may cry. God, it's funny because I just started tearing up on this, but I'm just thinking.
Thanks, guys.
I'm just thinking how inspirational you were to me personally to watch you after all these shows and see you get so close. I knew the disappointment that you were feeling. I could feel it from you, but I think everybody else just thought you cheered for your teammates, you supported them, you embraced that. In one show, it was your teammate that won, right?
Yeah.
And you just, the way that you embraced her, the way that you celebrated her was just such the epitome of grace, of professionalism, of everything, quite frankly, of everything I want to be. So
anyway,
I just wanted to say, you got me all crying. Do we have tissue? No tissue in the studio.
There's
no crying on the podcast. Okay, so sorry, babe. I just wanted to say
yes. No, absolutely.
But she said vulnerable, so
We're going there.
And I couldn't agree with that more. And what I was about to say is that, you know, it's interesting because everybody's journey is a little bit different. And I do think that sometimes when it happens so quickly, it actually can almost be harder because you don't have a chance to, you know, face that defeat that a lot of people do as an amateur because you never did.
Yeah.
And so then, man, when you get to that pro league, it's hard. Tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, with you doing so well and exactly what Greg says, like watching your grace and being able to work so closely with you. I mean, I grew so much in my respect and admiration for you as a person, as an athlete, and as a coach. And I think that this allows you to bring something very special to your athletes because I do think that every single athlete, you know, whether they're in our sport or another sport, you're going to face, you know, defeat, however you define that. And I do think we get an opportunity maybe to define what is winning, right? Mm-hmm. If, you know, we came in better, we followed up on the feed. You know, to me, like, I look at it like if you showed up at your best, you've already won, you know, because it's out of our hands at that point. And, you know, how do we handle it when, of course, we were going for, you know, the win and the Olympia qualification and those kinds of things. So so how do you then now take this experience and all that you've been able to conquer, you know, in terms of your own self-talk and all of that? How do you then now translate that to an athlete you're working with that's, you know, I know I was talking to one of the coaches yesterday who was saying, you know, he is an athlete that's like, I'm not going to get on the stage unless I'm going to win. You know, so
hard. And I think it's just having that conversation too and saying like, you know, what are your expectations? You know, there's some people that just want to do it for fun and want to step on stage as a bucket list. And there's, you know, a lot of us that are competitive and we want to win. And I think just, you know, kind of sharing my experience with my clients and saying, hey, I understand. I get it. Like, I've been there. I've wanted to win too. And yeah, we're going to aim to win, but it's not the be-all end-all at the end of the day, because you also have to think about like the other areas of your life. And, you know, that's why I think this past season I was able to, you know, be so happy for my teammates and, you know, still see the joy in the shows that I didn't win, because it comes down to so much more than just winning. Like, what's winning if you don't have people to share it with, right? It doesn't mean anything. It really comes down to like who you surround yourself with and how your life is and just, you know, what you make of it, I guess. So I think kind of trying to just bring people back to reality and like, you know, saying, okay, that's great. And we're going to work really, really hard. And this is what we have to do to get there. But at the end of the day, you know, you're only going to be in this sport for so long. What do you have after this sport? You know, were you so fixated on winning that you lost your family, your friends, your relationship? Like, you know, what's important to you when you're 50, when you're 60 and you're not bodybuilding anymore, and or even just a lifestyle journey, you know? Like, it's a very in-the-moment thing and we get very caught up, but you have to look at hindsight as well and the future and what you want in your future.
Yeah, you're looking at the future right here.
Looks pretty good to me.
But I mean, I totally can relate to exactly what you're saying, because I say this often when I look back at my competition journey, because I've been retired now for quite a while and I'm
making
in my 50s
comeback
now. They keep teasing me. I'm not coming back. You know, I truly value the most out of the experience, the community, the relationships, the mm-hmm. friendships and things like that. I mean, of course, you know, the accomplishments in terms of the placings or winnings or whatever, like, yeah, of course those were great in the moment. The hindsight, it's what you're saying is 100% true. It's like, mm-hmm. when I look back, it's this incredible community of people that inspire me and motivate me and excite me, you know, getting to be part of your journey, you know, mm-hmm. and cheer you on. Like, it's just so, all of these things are, you know, if we can open our minds and not just be so singularly focused, mm-hmm. You're right, then your relationships with your family do better, your relationships with your, you know, friends, and it just creating that balance in your life. I love that you brought that up so much.
Yeah, and I think, like, something that I also really learned this past year is, it's like, yes, bodybuilding is an individual sport, but you're so much better when you do it as a team. And that's why, you know, I love being a part of Fit Body Fusion, and I came from, you know, being very individualized, and it's just me, myself, and I, and, you know, I'm doing my thing and I'm competing. And then to come to a team where it's like, we're a family, and we lean on each other for support, and, you know, just hearing those different ideas and different perspectives, it makes you that much better. And you can kind of, you know, take a little piece from this person and a little piece from this person and apply it to yourself. And, you know, you feel that support and that camaraderie, and, you know, we're human beings. We need connection at the end of the day. So yes, it's very individualized. You're the only person that's going to do your training, your eat your food, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I, this past year, had much better support system than I've ever had before. And I think that also really, really contributed to my success this past season, was because I had those people to lean on. I had, you know, hey, why don't you try it this way? Or, you know, I'm seeing this, are you seeing this? Like, it really just made me that much better of an athlete because I had that support system behind me.
You said something there that was such a powerful word, and I do not want to go beyond it without calling it out. You said, what contributed to my success last year? I just want to pause for a moment, because when you said that, man, it was like a big bell went off in my head, that the way you're looking at last year, mm-hmm. it was a success for you because of what you learned, what you took away from it. And it brings to mind, and some grammatical person is going to differ with my definitions here, but it's the difference between winners and champions. And yes, you can win a show. Yes, you can win something, but what you're talking about is the champion mindset, mm-hmm. is that going beyond the victory, and going deeper into the, how am I making myself a better person? Mm-hmm. How am I evolving?
Yeah, making yourself and making others, right? Like, I think for me, a lot of my joy comes from is being able to inspire other people. You know, I get girls saying, you know, you're inspiring, and, like, I want to, you know, do what you're doing and all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, that's what keeps me going. Like, I don't really care about the trophy at the end of the day, like the tiara that you get, although I had never had a tiara until this past season, so I was really excited about that.
I'm sure you wouldn't turn one down either.
No, I definitely wouldn't. It's sitting on my dresser right now. But it's like, that was what kept me going, is like, you know, they're like, oh, you're so close, you're going to get it. Like, you're, you know, like, that's what kept me going. It's not that I wanted... Well, yes, I wanted that first place, but I wanted people to see that you can keep, you know, trying and applying and being better. And, you know, when I do get it, it's going to be like, it was, you know, that was the lead up. This is what it's like. You can do it. You can't give up. That's when you fail, is when you give up.
100%. So let's deviate from that. And I'm going to go with a check-in question. So you used open.
Okay.
And vulnerable. Okay. I do think you've been open, and you are. So what was in your mind when you said vulnerable?
I guess I just didn't know where this conversation was going to go. so, you know, just
that's how we like it.
Yeah. And I'm trying, you know, to be more vulnerable these days. I'm trying to really embrace
the
emotion.
Are you trying, or are you being more vulnerable?
I am being more vulnerable these days.
Thank you.
I'm not trying. I am being more vulnerable these days. And, you know, I used to be, my mom used to joke. She's like, you have like a heart of ice. Like, I have never seen you cry before in your life. Like, do you even have emotions? Like,
wow.
Yeah, like, it used to be a joke in my family. And it's funny because, you know, I've been going through some stuff recently, and I think I've cried more than I ever have in my life, because I'm just finally allowing myself to feel those emotions and, you know, be open to the negatives and really embrace not feeling your best, because I know it's going to be worth it in the end. So yeah, I think that's kind of what I've been learning lately about vulnerability, is just to really try and embrace it as much as you can.
Beautiful. That is so, that like, that is so beautiful to me, because really at the end of the day, isn't that really what we're all here on this planet for, is to like fill it and mm-hmm. grow from it and have those experiences. And actually, as you were saying that, and I'm sure it might have popped into your head too, it makes me think about Chris Bumstead's speech when mm-hmm. he, I think it was the last Olympia or the one before, I don't remember which one.
The previous Olympia, he talked about being on his bathroom floor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
This Olympia, he talked about how he just allowed himself to embrace and be present in the experience,
yeah.
which was brilliant. And I mean, you know, I get these articles about this is the height of emotional intelligence. Well, what he said was really the height of emotional intelligence.
Yeah. And what you said.
Yeah.
I mean, in allowing yourself to feel the things, because it's easier sometimes to block it out or numb it out, and yet you're missing a whole piece of life.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I used to be really guilty of that, of just like, okay, not thinking about it, on to the next. Like, what's the new goal that I can focus my time and attention on? But recently I've tried to, you know, really just sit in my feelings and think of, okay, well, what is this teaching me? And like, where did I go wrong in this? And what's my part in like the way that I'm feeling? And how can I fix it in the future? Because I found myself making the same mistakes and repeating some things that I didn't necessarily want to do. And so for me, I'm like, I'm trying to learn how to be a better version of myself in the future by actually acknowledging my part in things and, you know, seeing where I can do things differently in the future.
Right. And it's so funny in that little description that you just gave, you said what I did wrong. And then at the end, you said how I can do things differently. And what you just captured right there was the difference between fixed mindset and growth mindset. Mm-hmm. What did I do wrong? Well, you didn't do anything wrong. You just did what you did. And the question is not how could I have screwed up so bad? It's how can I be better? How can I improve on this? And you just walked yourself through that, that thing. And I knew, and I sensed, and Adair, tell me if I'm wrong, but I sense that you were doing it internally as you heard yourself say that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's also part of allowing yourself to feel it and not just trying to go on to the next thing, is you learn. And it's like, that's a perfect example of when you're working through the thoughts and you're thinking about it and you're kind of going through things, it's like, oh, wait, that wasn't all bad. This is the silver lining to it, and this is what's the good that's going to come from it. And you really just, that's why, going back to journaling, I love journaling, because I tend to walk myself through all of that. I start out usually pretty negative, and by the end I'm like, oh no, this is the lesson in it. So it's just, it's kind of like an evolution that you have to walk yourself through.
We have a Vulcan mind meld, because I was just thinking about, and that goes back to journaling, right? I guess I don't need to ask any questions since you're in my brain.
I guess not.
Which is a scary place
to
be.
You can leave, I guess. You're not needed today.
Oh, man. And you know what's interesting to me about this bodybuilding world, and one of the reasons I feel like we talk so much about the mental aspects, is like, as you're growing physically, it's kind of, we talked about this earlier, it affects the emotional health, the mental health, and then vice versa. It's just, we are, you know, integrated beings. And I just think oftentimes people want to get so tunnel vision focused on just one aspect. And I love hearing from you how, you know, how you're growing in all of the pieces to just become a more well-rounded person. And then, you know, and then ultimately that allows you to, you know, really help other people that are getting stuck in a certain area to kind of bust through whatever mm-hmm. that block is that's keeping them from experiencing life as fully as they'd like to.
Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, health is, it's a wider range of things. Like, you know, there's the sleep, there's digestion, there's your macros, there's training, there's mental health. Like, it's everything. It's not just one aspect. So you really have to look at the whole picture in order to be quote unquote healthy and get where you want to be.
And it's always a moving target.
It is. It's always changing.
I had somebody tell me one time, because I love the word balance, and she says, well, you're never really in balance. You're always balancing. Mm-hmm. And she kind of gave the visual of, you know, somebody's, you know, doing a yoga pose or something, and they're, you know, you're kind of always like teetering just a little bit and kind of course correcting just a little bit. And I feel mm-hmm. like that's life, right? It's that we're always, it's always moving a little bit, you know.
Being able to pivot, and you know, it's one area of your life's going to be a priority at one point, and then you're going to shift and you're going to have a different area that's a priority. So it's just kind of trying to go back and forth between making it all manageable.
Well, in the corporate world, right, the phrase du jour is work-life balance. And I always used to tell people, well, that's a fiction. Because when you say balance, it implies that both sides are going to be equal, and they're not. So you have to move the fulcrum to one side or the other based on how much weight I have on my job to make sure that I'm balancing that with an equal part of my personal life to get to that level where it's at least teetering a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to something. I'm sorry. So I want to unpack the vulnerability piece just a little bit more. Okay. What are you doing with yourself? What you just walked us through was fantastic. What's your check on that? Because you talked about how you have been in the past. I mean, I thought the thing of what mom was telling you reminded me of a Vulcan there for the Star Trek people. Mr. Spock kind of just, you know, very in control of the emotions.
Come on, come up to date. It's Data now.
fine, Data. So what's your check on vulnerability? How do you check yourself to make sure that you don't wreck yourself? I'm a poet and don't know it.
Apparently.
And your feet are Longfellers.
I think just trying to be honest is kind of my main thing of, you know, how I'm feeling and why I'm feeling a certain way. Like, I think a lot of the time we like to tell ourselves, like, I'm okay, I'm fine, you know, it's going to be okay, which it is. That's great to, like, uplift yourself. But I think also being able to be honest with myself and just say, like, this sucks. Like, I feel like crap, or, you know, I'm sad today, and just kind of allowing myself to be okay with that and not labeling it as bad or weak or, you know, I'm not good enough or I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do because of all of this. It's like, if anything, it's going to make me stronger and it's going to allow me to be better when I get to that point that I feel good, you know, but just not brushing over it, I think, has been really big for me lately.
I love that. I love that.
I love it. I love the track we're going down, but there was one other thing I wanted to be able to cover.
I
know, and I don't want us to run out of time, but I do. I know we've talked a lot about, you have to travel a lot for shows because mm-hmm. being in Canada, there are some shows there, but as a pro, there's really not a lot.
Two, yeah, yes. In a year.
Yeah, well, and one of them is so far from you as might as well be in another country.
Might as well go to the States.
Really one show you have the option for that would be considered pretty local for you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I do think that that's a big aspect, traveling. And then whether somebody's competing or not, being able to stay, you know, on track with their fitness goals. But then if you're competing, that adds an even higher level of complexity to making sure you're getting everything in. So I would love, before we do wrap up with you, just some tips that you have dealt with when it comes to traveling and competing and staying on track with your goals.
Yeah, I think it's definitely been a learning experience. But that's why I love macros. Like, I used to be the diehard meal plan girl, like, don't give me anything but my meal plan. But like, when I, you know, switched to you and we started doing macros, I really realized how good it is for, you know, living life and being able to pivot in the moment and do things and still reach my goals. So now I'm like a huge macro advocate. And, you know, I tell all my clients this, especially when you are traveling, like, it's so easy to stay on track when you're traveling, like, especially for shows. Like, for me personally, what I do is I like to prep my food beforehand. I think that's the best way you can go about it, because then you have your stuff, you know, it's good. And a lot of people don't know this, but you can travel with food internationally. You just can't have like liquid stuff. So you have to be careful with the egg whites and sometimes the oatmeal, stuff like yogurt, like that can get thrown out. But for the most part, like, I have, you know, my chicken, I have my rice, I have everything prepped and with me. And so I bring it with me to the shows, and most hotel rooms have refrigerators, microwaves, stuff like that. But if you can't, you know, there's a lot of alternatives. You know, there's Instacart these days, which is great, gets delivered right to your doorstep. But you can get like cooked chicken from the grocery store. You can get microwavable rice. Like, there's so many little things that you can get. And I think a lot of people just don't realize that it's at, you know, it's open to them and they can do that. They're like, oh man, like, I'm traveling, I have to eat out at a restaurant for every single meal. It's like, no, you don't. And even if you did, you can still make it work because you can choose healthier options. And you can, you know, at any restaurant these days, people have all sort of food, you know, things that they need or allergies. It's like they can make anything for you. You just have to ask. Like, and if they say they can't do it, they're lying. Like, they can. I worked in a restaurant. I know they can do it. So it's just, I think being kind of comes back to being like, you know, being able to pivot and being open with it. It's like, you just have to be able to not be so rigid in your ways and think, I need this meal for this. It's like, well, you don't need chicken today. You could eat beef. You could eat turkey. You know, like things like that. So I personally like to bring my food with me, and I just, you know, I pack it before, I freeze it the night before, and then that way I don't need to bring like any sort of ice packs or anything with me. And then your food thaws while you're on the plane, you get there and it's ready to go, and you just throw it in the fridge. So that's, it's honestly quite easy. And you know, if you follow me on Instagram, you see all my plane pictures of my food in little baggies, because I don't bring Tupperware. You know, I put everything in plastic bags. It saves space. You can like really seal it up nice and close. I know some people like to vacuum seal. That's just a lot of work. I don't do that. But I eat all my meals out of plastic bags because it's just, it's easy to travel with. And then I have my food with me. And if something comes up, I get delayed. You know, I've never missed a flight, knock on wood. But like if I did, you know, then I have all my food. I don't have to worry about it. So that's kind of been my big thing, is just making sure I plan ahead and I bring my food with me for shows. That sets me up for success.
That's awesome. And I love that you brought up your social media. So where can people find you?
So I am on Instagram. It's Adair LeBrack. And I mean, I am technically on YouTube, but it's not very active. But this year, that's my goal. So
and spell the last name, just so.
It's LibbreCht.
Okay, so the T is silent.
The T is silent.
Okay. I was just thinking about what you were describing with the food and just other stuff about the resiliency, and it all flows together. It's work. I was just thinking about the movie The Martian with Matt Damon, and he's confronted with all these adverse circumstances, and he keeps telling himself, work the problem, work the problem. Don't focus on the disappointment of whatever didn't work in that moment. Work the problem. And that's kind of the mindset that you're describing.
Yeah, 100%. It's, you have to be able to find the lesson in everything. And like everything in life is a lesson, you know, good and bad. The goods are going to teach you things just as much as the bads are. So you have to be able to firstly be open to the lesson and like be willing to actually change your ways and be open to changing.
That's brilliant. That's a great way to end this episode. And we appreciate you being part of this conversation, Adair. And let's have your check out word.
Ooh, check out. I'm going to say grateful.
I love that word. I was hoping you'd say that. Again, you must be in my brain. So sorry about that you have to be there. Because
there's a lot going on in there.
There is. And I'm not
even
sure.
Don't tell me any of it, please.
I'm not sure. I'm even happy being up there. But all right, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. And remember the three B's: be safe, be good to yourself, and be good to one another.
Thank you for tuning in to Fit Body Lifestyle. We hope today's episode has left you feeling motivated and equipped to tackle your fitness goals, business challenges, and the daily dance of life. Remember to value progress over perfection. Life's tough enough alone. Find the chosen family around you to help you along the way.
If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd really appreciate it if you would subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite streaming platform. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Fit Body Fusion.